listening to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosston, General Editor for the U Bible Study, and today I am joined by Dr. Christina Zimmerman, our Content Editor. Hello, Christina.
Hello, Mark. Here we are again with a wonderful study on the Holy Spirit. And today we're in session 3. It's titled Indwelt by the Spirit. You know, there are too many Americans who deal with loneliness, and in the eyes of many, loneliness is an epidemic. We need connections. We need others to lean on for encouragement, for advice, for fellowship. But for believers, there's another story. God's Holy Spirit lives in each of us. We don't have to face life alone. We don't have to face decisions alone. We don't have to face temptations alone. God Himself is with us. So this session will help us to understand that and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, what all that means. We're looking at today, Romans 8, verses 9 through 17.
All right, so the point of our lesson today is the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives affirms our relationship with God. And so how do we know we have the Holy Spirit? Number one, He indwells every believer. Let me read Romans 8, verses 9 through 11. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God lives in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. Now, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then He who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through His Spirit who lives in you. So this is a great first point here. He indwells every believer. And you can see it just stated really plainly in verse number 10. Now, in verse number 9, second part, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. And so this is important. So when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in the believer at that very moment, because we can't be saved without the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It is the Holy Spirit who does the work of salvation. Jesus Christ paid the price. His blood is what washes us from every sin and stain, but the Holy Spirit makes the application and the connection in our lives. And so we can't be saved without the Holy Spirit in our lives. And He is in us. So we may not feel like we are saved sometimes. We may not feel like the Spirit of God is in us. But just because you don't feel like the Spirit of God is in you, and you may feel sometimes, think sometimes like you're not alone, you are not alone, because the Spirit of God dwells in every believer. And so just our task to make sure we are in touch with God and His Spirit who lives inside of us. right? Is what the hymn writer says when he says he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. Friend, we are never alone because we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. What are you thinking, Christina?
Well, that's right, Mark. One of the things we hear sometimes is that some Christians are spirit-filled and some are not spirit-filled. You know, that's a huge error, because if a person is not filled with the Spirit, then they're not a Christian at all. You know, we can't divide Christians by that type of thinking. But sometimes we do miss out on living the Christian life because we don't do as Paul says in Ephesians 5 and 18, that is, and to be filled with the Spirit. And that wording there, that language, is that you're being constantly filled with the Spirit. And so what we're saying here is what we've said all along, is that it's a growth process, that you grow continually in your walk with Christ. And that feeling is what connects you to that learning. Okay, so how do we know that we have the Spirit? You know, I can say personally that a change occurred in my life when I became born again. I knew immediately that there was something different. And then as I was exposed to biblical teaching and biblical truths, then I began to be attracted to Jesus in ways that I never had before. Even though before I became a Christian, I went to church, I learned about Jesus. This change with the Holy Spirit dwelling in me caused me to really love and honor Jesus Christ. And then with the Holy Spirit, you know you have the Holy Spirit because you are becoming more like Jesus. Really becoming more like Jesus in your attitude, in your heart, and the things that you want to do and so forth. So you can know that you have the Spirit. You know, we know it by faith, but we know it also by the change that takes place in our hearts and our lives.
All right. So let's move on to the second portion, which reminds us that he renews every believer. He renews every believer. Let me start reading at verse number 12. So then, brothers, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. All those led by God's Spirit are his sons. All right, so this is important. And dovetails into what you were just saying at the end of the last portion, Christina, because it's helpful for people to recognize that there's a difference between being having the Holy Spirit in your life and being filled by the Holy Spirit in your life. So every believer, we saw in part number one, has the Holy Spirit in their lives. Sometimes the Bible will speak about this as being baptized by the Spirit. But the Bible also talks about being filled by the Spirit. And when we're filled by the Spirit, we are fully controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. So remember, to be baptized by the Spirit is always spoken of in the Bible in the passive voice. It's what happens to me. I come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I surrender my life to him, and immediately the Holy Spirit comes to live in my life. That initial entry of the Spirit of God into the life of the believer is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, passive voice. But all of us have to continually strive to be filled with the Spirit, that is to release control of our lives to the Holy Spirit. And that's why whenever the Bible talks about being filled by the Spirit, it's always in the imperative voice, the voice of command, an active voice, something we have to do. We have to work on reducing ourselves so that the Spirit of God can fill us up. And I think that's what we get to see in these verses. We're not obligated to live after the flesh, but to live to the Spirit. And so, and it just reminds us that the end of living in the flesh is death. But what do we have to do? By the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body. And so the day I get saved, every sin that's in my life may not fall off immediately, but I'm working to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as I work to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to release control of my life, allow the Holy Spirit to have full control. And so these things that have been part of my sinful life now begin to fall off. But if you live by the Spirit, what do? Put to death the deeds of the body. So then I'm over time, you ought to be able to look back on your life and see where you have grown in faith and in the power of the Spirit. So you can see that, look, these are the things I used to do, but you know, that list might not be empty, but it's not as long as it used to be. Come on. And so some things used to get me down when I first became a Christian, but there are so many less today as I've continued to walk in faith with Jesus Christ, to become stronger in him and to allow the deeds of the flesh to be put to death as his Holy Spirit fills my life and takes full control of me. What are you thinking, Christina?
You know, Mark, all of this is so powerful. And I hope that our listeners are really grabbing hold to this because, you know, some people, some Christians worry about whether or not they're Christians. And what we're saying in all of these sessions related to the Holy Spirit will help to settle that once and for all. One thing that we must do is to understand that the Holy Spirit, yes, he's indwelt us, that we have to pursue being filled by the Spirit, but we just can't sit on our laurels and think that things are going to take place. In these verses, we see commands taken here, that are given here. And that is that we are to live a certain way. We're to live according to the Spirit. We are not to live according to the flesh. We are to put to death the deeds of the body. So these are things that we are to do by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a cooperation. It's the Holy Spirit working to guide us, to teach us, and he indwells us to empower us so that we can continue to grow to be more and more like Jesus. That's a spiritual transformation that takes place. And I tell you, this study, this lesson today helps us to understand what that is all about.
All right. So the third portion says he leads every believer. Let me start reading at verse number 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are children, and if children, also heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, seeing that we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. And so there it is. He leads the life of every believer is what this last point reminds us. So we're not slaves, right? He doesn't just put us on lockdown and we become robots and then we have to do everything exactly one way, and every Christian acts one way, and everybody ought to look one way. We have not become slaves in that sense, but instead he says we receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father, right? And the Spirit testifies that we are children of God. And so what happens with your children? Your children aren't slaves, right? Your children have their own personalities. They have their own way, mannerisms, all these kind of things. And so do we as believers. And so we all are a little different. We'll do some things a little bit different. But what happens? The Holy Spirit is in our lives, and the Holy Spirit guides us toward, releasing again the works of death and walking in the newness of life with the power of the Holy Spirit, just like our children start out, needy and dependent and vulnerable. But as our children grow, they get stronger. They get more a better sense of being able to walk and carry themselves, which is so very important for each one of us to remember as Christians. So don't expect new believers to do everything just like people that have been walking with God for a long time, right? So he is in every believer, but we are adopted as little children. And so it takes time for children to grow. And we need to express loving, patient, grace-filled care for those who are part of the family of God, who are particularly those who are new to the faith and need to grow in grace. What do you think, Christina?
Mark, and that word Abba, we've heard this before, that Abba, Father, means daddy. And daddy is a term of endearment. It signifies that there's a close relationship, a heartfelt, joyful relationship that we can have with God. We are God's children. And that means that we have something really, really special. As long as we are, Paul is saying here, for all those who are led by God's Spirit, are God's sons. He didn't say that as long as you go to church, you're God's son. No, not that. As long as you read your Bible, you're God's son. No. He didn't say as long as you're patriotic and true to America, you're God's sons. No. He is saying if you're led by the Spirit. So don't forget our teaching, our previous teaching, those things that we've already said about the Holy Spirit. And then you will have confidence to know that the Spirit lives in you. And because of that, you are a child of God. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel so very empowered, so good to know that I am a child of the mighty God who created this world.
Right. So as a reminder, in the book, talks about the fact that in Roman culture, a child is given full legal standing in the family. And so in our lives with Jesus Christ, we have full standing in the family when we are adopted into the faith, into the body of Christ. So this is a great lesson. I hope this will encourage and strengthen people who are in your class as you go through this powerful discussion. So if you're a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on for just a moment because Christina is going to give us a powerful 1-minute teaching tip. But I just want to remind each of you that you can get your own copy of the U Bible Study curriculum at lifeway.com/U. That's lifeway.com/YOU. It is our Urban Culturals Forward Bible Study material Comes in paper and digital formats, has a teacher's guide in the back of the book, has daily devotional pages to keep us in the Word of God every day, a leader's pack, and it aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. Come on, Christina, and give us our Bible study tip for today.
Okay, Mark, our teaching tip for today is that you want to get your learners engaged in what they are learning in today's session. So you'll need three posters or large sheets of paper. And what you want to do is record on that first sheet characteristics of your old self and then characteristics of your new self. So you're going to be a little transparent here. And then on the two other sheets of paper, write on one of them, my old self at the top, and then my new self at the top of the other one. Then display all three of these so that when the learners enter the room, they can see these. At the appropriate time during the discussion, just talk about the two natures. Present the information about yourself as an example of what you want your learners to do, and then provide them with sticky notes so that they can list the characteristics of their two natures and stick them on the appropriate chart. This would be a wonderful opportunity to just talk about what God has done in the lives of the learners and a way for them to see what God has done. So praise God for this opportunity.
All right. Thank you all so very much. This is a powerful lesson right here. And so, friends, join us again for another You Bible Study podcast, because you never know where God will take you.